Hello, everyone. Melissa Gonzalez with another episode of Retail Refined, a Market Scale podcast. Today, I'm so excited to have Kara Carter on and having a conversation with her because Hannah Anderson is one of those brands that has such a strong emotional connection with families, including my own. It is known for quality and iconic children's pieces, but what I think is especially interesting is how that quality now connects to bigger retail conversations. Conversations around durability, around circularity, around resale, loyalty, and self-expression. As Chief Product Officer, she is looking across merchandising, design, fabric innovation, sourcing, technical design, quality, and responsible sourcing. So she's not just thinking about what the product looks like. She's also thinking about how it performs, how it supports families, and how it lasts, and increasingly, how it can live multiple lives. I'm going to start with a journey into her personal journey because she brings such an interesting background across entrepreneurship, wholesale, product, and resale. And then we're going to dig deep into the brand itself. So Kara, thank you so much for being on Retail Refined with us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes. So, you know, you've had a really interesting career path, right? From launching your own brand to leading product strategy inside a beloved children's apparel brand that also appeals to families and adults and pets. So let's start with diving into that. Like, let's tell the audience a little bit more about your role at Hannah Anderson. And then I want to talk a little bit about your leadership story.
Okay, I love that. And I hope, be careful what you ask for, because my leadership story is a fascinating one.
Oh, perfect, that's what we want.
Yeah, it makes for great content, right? It's an interesting journey. But yeah, fast forward to where I am right now. I'm the Chief Product Officer at Hannah Anderson. Great intro, beloved brand, 40 years old, founded with kind of the Scandinavian principles around sustainability and quality and made for childhood. But yeah, when you think about, like, you know, now looking back of how did I get to here, it was a really interesting journey. And I always say, like, it's hard to answer what was your professional journey, to be honest, without also answering what my personal journey was. Because yeah, when you do a quick view of my resume or my LinkedIn, it's like, why was she opening a baby brand at a very young age? But I do. I always kind of think back as we age and we have like the perspective of how are these puzzle pieces like fitting together, and it all kind of starts to make sense now. And there were, I would say, like two big puzzle pieces that really laid the foundation for like my own leadership journey, my own style. Even going back to like I was an athlete. I played basketball competitively all through high school. I lived, breathed, and drank it. But it's so much learned there around leadership. Such a proponent too for kids playing sports, especially girls. That's a whole other podcast. But I learned about grit. I learned about perseverance. I learned about, you know, when you fall down, you get back up. I learned about, you know, teamwork, that, you know, the sum of the whole is better than the individual parts. Just so many kind of big lessons that kind of really shaped my own leadership style as I went through. But then I had a season injury, career ending injury my senior year. So I was like basketball, never even thought about like, what do I want to do? What career do I want? To be honest, never thought about it. I was going to play basketball in college and that's what I was going to do. So career ending injury, that was my, probably my first big pivot in life. I'm being really transparent and honest. I was floundering. I was lost at that period. I went to college. I didn't know what I was doing. In that time, I met my husband, wasn't my husband then, my husband now. And you fast forward and surprise, we had our first child when we were sophomores in college. And I say that because it just completely changed everything, you know, for me at that point, grew up really quickly. And it wasn't, it's funny, it wasn't for me a pivot, it was a focus. You know, it wasn't like one more pivot. I feel like I was actually doing lots of little pivots. It was the clarity and the focus that I needed of like even my value system of like, oh, this is my why, this is my purpose, and super motivated. Still didn't know what I wanted to do. Didn't even know what merchandising was at that point, but I was super motivated that I was going to make this work. My husband and I are going to make this work. We were both in college. So I graduated from UVA. It only took me, I think, 5 years. I'm like, nowadays, that's nothing.
Why rush?
That's a, you know, walk in the park. But graduated from UVA. And yeah, right after I graduated, opened my first brand with one of my best friends in the baby space. And so fun. I joke though, it was also where I really learned about failure. It was my, you learn a lot when you open your first brand. I also say I was way ahead of my time, and I'm telling you the story because I know we're going to talk about resale, and this is a fun little tidbit. But the premise of the brand that we opened was around really high-end resale. So, you know, think about it. At the time, I'm this young mom, but of course I have really great taste in children's clothing, can't really afford it. So my friend and I are like, let's bring, you know, kind of this curated European brands, high-end resale children's consignment store to the market. And what we quickly realized, this is like 2004, 2005, is that, I know, so 20 years ago, we were ahead of our times. And yes, the people that recognized those brands didn't at that time, it would have worked today. At that time, they didn't want to buy resale. They didn't want to buy secondhand, you know, so we quickly pivoted that brand and that business to be more full price, bringing in all the brands that we loved. But yeah, I learned so much during that journey. It was also, I call it like the beginning of my love affair with children's apparel, you know, and just how fun and joyful that space is. But wasn't making any money. So that's another, you know, startups are hard. So figured, okay, I do need to figure out how to make a career for myself, make some money. So that was kind of, you know, at the ripe old age of 25, my more traditional professional journey started. And I, you know, the beginning of my career was very much in, I would call them founder-led growth companies. So much great experience in that kind of startup world. I owned P&Ls at an early age. I was leading teams at an early age. That was always comfortable for me. And then I landed at Hannah. And I landed at Hannah in 2014. It was so exciting for me to come back to the children's space. It was a space that I, you know, again, fell in love early. And I wanted to come back to. So when that opportunity arose, I was so excited to join Hannah. And as Hannah has grown, I have grown too, and held different kind of roles within the company. And then to today, leading the entire product division. So that is my very personal journey, professional journey, how it's all intertwined. It's a fascinating one.
No, I love everything that you shared. I love the athlete analogy. You know, I could hear, you know, we have my daughters in softball, and it's one of the things that I do credit my husband of always, like, even if she said no, like, we got to encourage her, because it creates this skill set that is intangible, right? About how to work with teams, collaborate.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you talked about your role as a founder, and also within Hannah having different roles. So what did, outside of sports, what did some of those earlier roles in product, in merchandising, wholesale, resale, how did that shape your perspective today?
I tell kids today, one of the most formative experience I had was right after, you know, the baby brand, because I went to another startup. I had an amazing opportunity to work with a super, you know, strong female CEO founder, went to Darden, went to UVA, took me under her wing. But I always encourage, if you have the opportunity to work at a startup at a young age, because it laid the foundation, I think, for me to really grow, no matter actually which kind of area I went into business. I always say I was like never an expert in anything, but I, you know, I was literally, you know, creating the website. I was answering customer service calls. I was packing orders. I was doing the buying. I mean, I did everything, and it was enough for me as I moved through and I went more the merchandising track, product track, but I had enough knowledge to be able to connect dots. And that, I think, has been a theme for me that helped me throughout my career. And especially even now when I am leading teams beyond the merchandising team, you know, I probably will always be a merchant at heart, but I have design with me. I have sourcing and logistics and more operational, you know, teams with me. And that early experience kind of in a more startup entrepreneurial role helped me so, so much.
Yeah. I mean, it's that purview, right? You're staying, and it allows you to say, I think, customer centric too, because you're seeing all those different touch points within the organization.
Completely. Yes. Customer at the center of everything, always.
So looking at your role today as chief product officer, you know, you're still, like you mentioned, touching so many parts of the business: merchandising, design, fabric R&D, global sourcing, logistics, technical design, responsible sourcing, right? So, how do you, in your role, keep all those functions connected around your one core brand promise?
It's not easy. I will start with that. But it's a structure that we implemented and it's purposeful because the customer is so important to us. The product is, to me, the brand. Without the product, you don't have Hannah Anderson. Of course, I'm biased, but it is true. And so it really was intentional when, you know, I say we, you know, I was, you know, asked to do this, but when we made this shift at Hannah, I guess it was about 4 years ago now at this point, to bring all of those departments together. And I say it's hard because there are times I'm like, I always feel like I'm disappointing someone because there's natural tension between those teams. And that's actually how good product teams should operate. But I think what keeps us aligned is having the customer at the center, having the brand promise at the center, and that whenever things get a little bit tense or I have to kind of step in and make a call, like it's always with that in mind. And it allows all the different teams to move in some ways like quicker and faster around us. Alignment, which we've really found has worked here at Hannah.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, to your point, those healthy tensions help you stretch and grow, right? But then you all have to have your North Star that you're coming back to every time. So your brand, Hannah Anderson, I mean, look how I reacted when we got on together. Like it has a very clear emotional connection with kids, with parents, you know, aunties, uncles, all the things, right? So from your perspective, what is it that is that promise at the center of the brand that elicits that emotional connection?
I mean, I have to say, I think at the end of the day, it's our quality. And we've done a lot of work, and I'm sure we'll get into it, of like how we're really thinking about modernizing the brand, modernizing the product. But at the end of the day, it is the quality that customers, even to this day, if I tell someone I work at Hannah, they tell me the stories about how, you know, their child wrote it, they passed it down, they gave it to their friends. And that is our promise. That is our differentiator. You know, I always like anyone can make cute product, not as cute as us, but at the end of the day, anyone can make cute product, but not everyone will put the amount of like intention and investment in the actual quality and construction of the product that we do. And that is essentially to me the brand promise is that we make product that lasts and we make product that allows kids be kids and enjoy their childhood.
Zoning in on kids, yeah. How do you translate champion childhood into your product decisions?
It's so fun. Also, I just have to say it really is so fun. Even, you know, if everyone in retail, we know retail is not for the faint of heart, but working with children's apparel and pajamas is so fun. Because it's all about, just like you said, is we believe that we are the champions of childhood. And what that really does is it drives like every decision. In some ways, it makes things easy because you're constantly putting the kid at the center. It's everything from the fabric, you know, how does it wash? We do a 60 wash test. What's the construction? What is the fit that allows them to go play in the world and explore the world comfortably? So, you know, for us, it's always keeping like that joy of childhood and like the essence of childhood at the center and creating product that allows that to happen.
Yeah, as you say that and you say that joy in the childhood, I think about nostalgia. That's another thing, because you also have some such cool collaborations as well. So how do you balance nostalgia with modern relevance?
Oh, that's such a good question. Nostalgia is having a moment right now, which I think we're all really enjoying, which I love personally too. But I do think I think of Hannah as, I say this too, I'm like, I don't own the brand, not the founder, but I see myself as a brand steward, which feels like a big weight and responsibility because it is such a beloved brand. But I also feel that responsibility of, we have to make sure that this brand is just as relevant and beloved 40 years from now as it was 40 years ago. And with that, it's a dance of like, where do you play into that nostalgia, hold on to the like tried and true, the ethos of the brand. And then where do you have to push forward? Like, where do you have to modernize? Where do you need to, you know, show it a slightly different outlook? I love that you brought up our collabs. I mean, that's been a key strategy of changing kind of the perception of Hannah of, you know, we loved her like Deuce and collaboration. You know, there's just so many different things that we've done recently where we call them like a little bit the perception changers. Like it's a beloved brand, but always thinking about how do we reimagine this brand for the next generation as well.
Yeah, I love that term, the perception changers. So that's a good balance too of how you bring that in. But what if you kind of touched upon it, but like what has to be true for a Hannah piece to be a Hannah piece?
Oh, you're going to get like tired of me saying it, but quality. It really is. You know, I think for me, it is all about quality. Some of my favorite stories that I hear, and this is like always like the goal in my head of, I want the Hannahs to be the product that the kid is like the first to pull out of their drawer or their closet. We had someone, my head of merchandising told this story, and we were launching a new product line. It was our new Hannah Soft. And so she was product testing for us. And she said, Jack literally keeps going to the dirty laundry to pull, you know, the PJ out of the dirty laundry. And that to me is like what makes a Hannah. It's kid loved. It's mom approved. It is that piece that like you want to pull out of your closet every single day and wear over and over. Like the other story I love is like, I love your product, but I literally can't get my kid to like stop wearing the PJ or stop wearing the rainbow tulle dress. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, and there's pajama day at school now too. Okay, so
yeah, just let, I see kids in pajamas at the airport all the time. It's fine. Just let it happen. Let it happen.
Yes, exactly. Well, you talk about that and the durability of it and some of the details that you build into the garments are really thinking about the activeness of kids, right? Like the, so what are some of those things like the reinforced knee and how are you arriving at these? Are you doing product testing? Are you surveying, you know, kids and parents? How are you always learning?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's interesting. I think it's a combo. I think a lot of it is actually being so careful of to keep the ethos of the brand and what was established so long ago around quality, the fits. We have room to grow in all of our fits, which makes the product last longer, you know, flat lock seams, so it doesn't itch, you know, against the child's skin. There's so many just things that were established way before I even got here. And so it's almost as much around like, make sure, even as we do think about new product types or modernizing, like we can't lose that. And that's to me like the number one piece, I would say, of making sure that we're staying really, not diverting, like staying really true to the, because those founding principles.
Yeah, I mean, you can never underestimate a good zipper. I'll say that as an adult or a kid.
It's so true. And then so many, yeah, I mean, you're so right. Like on top of that, it's like staying true, but we are a team of like, moms and aunties, just like you said, so many ideas and inspiration come just from our own, you know, product team, you know, and it's so fun to even do the product testing, see how they're experiencing it themselves and having those ideas come to life as well.
If there's one thing from that, like innovation and testing, like a small design detail that you're like, oh, this really solved a family pain point, what would that be for you?
Oh gosh, don't make me pick. There's so many. I think though it's, and I keep saying it, but like the room to grow, I feel like sometimes people underestimate how important that is for family. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just even the detail around our PJs, like our classic PJs, like the cuffs, like you can buy them. They're a little big, you roll them up, but like we purposely design them so that as the child grows, they grow with you. And so these little details around the room to grow, I feel like, is one of our most underrated, you know.
That because My daughter's only 11. So she's having those growth spurts. And that's the biggest pain is like you're outgrowing stuff so quickly and you want to make the investment too. And it's a great piece. But then you're like, but if you're going to work for 3 months, it's not as exciting for me as a parent.
I have a friend who just had a baby. So it's fun to also like live through her right now. And I think before she didn't understand my world, she didn't have kids yet. And so her child is 4 months and she like sent me a text. She's like, I get it now. And she said, we have the Hannah sleeper. It's a 0 to 3 month old. It lasts forever. It still fits him. And I won't say the other brand, but you can imagine another brand that's not as nice as Hannah. And she was like, it's already pilling. It doesn't fit him anymore. Exact same size. You know, but it's like you really, once you experience, you really do understand like the Hannah difference and why it's worth the investment as well.
Yeah. Well, in addition to durability, there's also like redefining personal style for kids. So historically it's been very coded, right? By occasion, by season, by gender, by what kids should wear versus adults and all of that. But kids, especially Gen Alpha today, they are very vocal. Very opinionated and ahead of trends more than their parents and the educator in the house now. So how are you embracing that? Like how are kids influencing purchase decisions earlier versus say 10 years ago?
Yeah, that's a good, it's definitely changing. It was still big 10 years ago too, which is really interesting. There does come that time period in childhood when they are very vocal about what they want to wear. And I see it come through in a couple different ways. I see the first, which is what makes Hannah great. The first is the truly like the comfort. They start to become like, you know, again, early toddler, like they start to become very vocal about, I like this, this feels comfortable, I feel good, I want to, you know, wear it again. And then it definitely goes into what do I want to wear? And this is where for us, it's actually fun because print is so much like the DNA of what we do too, but kind of the joy that we bring in our print. And as you go into like toddler and kids, you really see some of like, we call it the content, like the things that kids just love, whether it's the trucks or the unicorns or the, and they get very particular about what they want to wear. But what's fun for us that we're really playing with is the baby and toddler, it's still mom driving the purchase. And that definitely, you get to have a little bit more fun with a little bit more, you know, modern approach. The mom wants, you know, that's her first kind of, you know, foray into making sure that her child represents herself and her family as well. And so it's fun to see also like how it varies as you go through the different life stages. More modern to a little bit more like kid driven of from comfort to like, what does it look like? Does it have enough twirl? You know, you can see like literally what's happening in the life stage in our sales. You can see it.
That's so fun. Well, I love that you brought up too, like the patterns and, you know, your brand has such a joyful design language and you can mix and match. And there's a lot of, you embrace allowing kids and adults to express themselves through it. So how do you think about that? How do you think about color and print and pattern and versatility, again, on top of durability and all the other aspects that people are looking for?
Yeah, I love that you bring it up because to me, it is a core pillar of what we do and what childhood is. And we do believe in like the independence of dressing and the fun and creativity that that comes with for children. To give you another sports analogy, like my husband would always say, like, you know, you look good, you play good.
But it's true, though.
Expensive cleats for the kids, right? But it's still, it works here too, you know, and we really want kids to have that like freedom of expression, have that independence, dress themselves. And we love the mix match. So I think it is a couple of things that we do with intention. We have like a more focused color palette that like mixes together. We make sure even across, you know, categories and departments, it can still all mix. But I think what's really fun for us right now, and we have an amazing head of brand that is leading this effort, is really inspiring also mom to show how fun it is when you mix and match it. And because I think there was an era too, because again, I would get the, I get the emails, get the texts of like, this is what my child put on for school today. And it's all mixed up and it's, I love it. It's amazing, but we're actually having a lot of fun of like inspiring the outfit, you know, in our marketing, on our site and showing just the joy that it comes of like kind of mixing more unexpected prints and dots and stripes and mixing them all together. And so it's not even just for the kid. It's, there's a little bit of fashion and trend in there too.
Well, I love it because you're empowering kids to embrace their authentic selves that way. And it seems, I mean, that's something that sits alongside your brand mission a bit too, when you think in your role in product development. And I know it's not a new thing because I think at that age, like you're talking about, especially kids, we're entering like, how do I step into self-expression? And, you know, how does that manifest and stuff like that? But you're also now in this generation of, they have such a desire to be co-creators. Like they're growing up on Roblox and all these things. So it seems like that is an even heightened expectation or desire from kids today.
It's so true. And I'm always inspired by my daughter. And just even watching her, and she's, you know, in her early 20s right now, but just even watching her and thinking about how I grew up too and how different it is. And maybe you can relate, Melissa, or not, but like, I feel like when I grew up, it was more about conformity. It was more about like, oh, I don't have the Nike Air Maxes that Katie has, and I'm missing out, or I don't have those designer jeans. And I've seen with her generation, and they will be the next generation to have, you know, kids, is it's more about not being conformed. You know, it's what she shops. She shops secondhand. She actually gets mad when she feels like someone like stole her look. And so seeing that start to trickle down too of like, how do you create uniqueness is really, I think will be an important trend also to think about as we move forward.
Well, I love that you brought up secondhand. Our conversation is just happening so organically. And you started the conversation about, you know, you kind of entered the world trying to move resale forward, even though it was early. So let's talk about the evolution of, am I saying this right? Hand-me-downs. So, right, how has resale changed the way brands should think about this? And before you mentioned you were early, so it feels like a little bit of a confluence of the consumer evolving themselves. Yep. But what role does this play in Hannah Anderson as a brand as a whole?
Yeah, I do love these questions because it was just such a natural fit for us. It really kind of wasn't a no-brainer. You know, we've had a lot of conversations even out in the industry around our resale platform, and I love chatting about it. But all the questions are also like, how did you decide to do it? And what made, you know, and I'm like, oh, this was a no-brainer. Our customers have been organically doing this since the inception of the brand. This is, you know, we heard the stories, even when you like walk around the Hannah offices and hear about how people even working here, how they are introduced to the brand. I'm not exaggerating. At least half or more of the stories are through like some type of hand-me-down. Like, oh, my sister gave it, or my mom gifted it to me, or I bought it, I found it at a consignment. There's just so many just natural passing along hand-me-down stories that were with the brand. And I think we started really looking at it from like a more business model, I would say like late 2019. And at the time, we couldn't figure out how to make it work. It was kind of operational complexity. Like, how do you bring in a lot of like small children's clothing pieces and then resell them? And so it just wasn't the right time for us to do that. We partnered with Archive and, you know, the early, I guess it was 2022. I'm losing my date. Someone fact check me. But they provided a really seamless peer-to-peer experience that, you know, we could put on our site. And it was really just more about facilitating this natural organic behavior on our site. And it's been really fun to see just that behavior and how we're creating a more circular like retail experience versus a more traditional linear retail experience. So it's been fun. I always thought it's like our resale is like our love letter to our customer. Like they wanted this, they were doing it on, you know, or naturally themselves. And so for us to be able to facilitate this for them is really satisfying too.
Yeah, I mean, I can attest to the same thing. Like my niece gives stuff to my daughter gives stuff to my other niece. And so this is how it happens. And I love that you said love letter, because for a premium children's brand, you know, I think some people have I call it a misconception that resale can sometimes compete with new product, but I do think it's an entry point and I think it can expand your ecosystem. How do you think about that balance?
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't seen that. Like I said, like I think we're seeing a much more circular experience where, you know, it's fun. So when someone sells a Hannah on our Hannah Me Downs platform, they have the option to take a cash payment or they get 100% in a Hannah gift card to come back to the Hannah site. And 80%, almost 80% choose the Hannah gift card. So they're just coming back to the core brand. And what's also fun is when they come back to the brand, they're spending more than two times what that gift card is on our site. So we've just really seen it as like a full circular kind of opportunity. We also are seeing, and it's small but growing of, and I think this will be a trend, but especially within our baby customers, where maybe you're not quite as familiar with Hannah yet. Maybe you've heard about it, but it is a more premium price point and you want to test it out. And we're seeing that it is a way to also allow like new customers, especially with little ones, and they're growing fastly, to test the brand. And then again, get them into that kind of circular environment, which is really great.
Yeah, I love that you had like factual insights about its impact to customer lifetime value, right? Because it becomes more of this like two-way street that you're developing together with them throughout their life stages.
Yeah, it feels like a community. And selfishly, like I could see it too. Like, and we would hear it anecdotally. We would hear it like even on the eBay or the ThredUp, like, oh, Hannah Anderson is our number one children's resale. I'm like, well, that's great. And so it's, to me, it's fun to like bring that community all in one place. And it's also fun for me. I just have to give this little plug. It's fun for me because it's like an archive. It's like a treasure trove of what this brand has done over the last 20 years. And to see, you know, my favorite thing is when I'll go and I'll see something that's, I know it's like 15 years old and it still looks just as good, you know, as it did then. That's just very satisfying and just reaffirms the brand promise of what we do around our quality.
Yes, absolutely. I can picture in my head this like archive pop up. But anyways, I sidetrack.
I will too. Yes, we can brainstorm later on how we will bring this to life, right?
Yes. But on the other opposite side of the archive is the future. So if we think of the future of children's apparel, and when you think about like the next couple years in this, what are you excited about? What do you think will influence these decisions? What do you think the brand, you know, could you tease out maybe, right? Don't give away everything, but what do you think it can continue to evolve into?
It's so interesting. I have a lot of thoughts here. I think the first I will say is I do view Hannah as like the leader. We are the leading kind of premium children's retailer. And with that means you can never be complacent. So you're always forced to be looking at what's next? Where do we go next? How do you build this out? How do you add? How do you subtract? It's a constant conversation of how do you make sure that whole relevance, like this brand is just as beloved 40 years from now, all while still maintaining the brand promise. Like that is to me like the table stakes of we can never walk from quality, but what does it look like? And I think I also toggle between like even like 5-10 years from now, I toggle between two extremes. And as most things in life, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, right? But in some ways, I feel like the children's market won't change at all. And let me explain. I still see so many threads that are universal truths around parenthood and childhood and the desire to like create memories for your kid, the desire to give your best to the child, give either what you had or better than what you had. Like I saw my mom, I saw Ida, I see these like universal threads that I think play really nicely, honestly, into what Hannah Anderson is and what we do. And it's about like making sure we, you know, stay down that path. But then I also see just all the kind of things that we've been talking about around self-expression and resale and, you know, where is it all going? And I see like another extreme of like, oh, it's all going to be different in 10 years and everyone will want resale or, you know, or two extremes, only like very, very premium or resale. And the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But I think as long as we stay close to the customer and the customer evolves, customer chains, as long as we stay close to the customer. And I think as long as we also stay close to the ethos of this brand and make sure that even as we modernize, even as we update, we don't lose like what that brand promises. It's an exciting time to be at Hannah. Yeah, it's what keeps me going.
I could feel all your passion for it.
I have a lot of passion. Yeah.
I love that. But it's true. You know, you have to keep the heritage so that, I mean, people depend on that, right?
Yeah.
You're continuing to modernize. So, I love this conversation. It always goes so quickly. And I think we've learned so much. I'm going to ask you a few rapid fire questions.
Oh, okay. Fine. All right.
Okay. The first one is, in your mind, what is the most underrated product detail in kids' apparel today?
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say it. It's the fabric, but not just fabric. It's the fabric weight. And it goes back into that like durability conversation. There's lots of pillars that we think about when we're making choices. Is it soft? Is it all that? But at the end of the day, there is a like certain gram. There's a fabric weight that you have to kind of maintain to actually allow it to be hand-me-down, you know, durability passed down from generation to generation. So people, I think, don't always understand that, but it's a key pillar for our brand promise.
I love that. Okay, second question. What is your favorite Hannah Anderson print or product category right now?
Oh, that's so funny that you asked me that, because someone asked me that literally yesterday, the day before. We were doing intro, we have a new team member, and everyone had to go around and pick their favorite product. And I chose to politely decline. I said, I cannot pick a favorite. They're all of my favorite children. But what is fun, and we don't have time and I don't have visuals, but I am such a print person. I definitely have favorite prints. And they're all like logged in my head. I'm like, oh yeah, that one from 2018 or that flower we did in 2023. So if we had time, I would show you my favorite prints, but no, they're all my favorites.
I knew you were going to say it. It's a hard question, especially in your role. Forget about it. But I am seeing in my head when you do that archive pop-up, your VO.
It will be my curation. Yes, I love this.
Yes. Okay. Last rapid fire. Thinking of matching family pajamas, timeless tradition or peak nostalgia?
Okay, wait, I have to end this on a story. Do we have time for a quick story?
Yes, tell us.
Okay. I'm going to say both. I think I'm going to say timeless tradition, but I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to use my kids again, my daughter. So she is a psychology major, and she sent me this like last year, I think. And she was in one of her classes, and they asked her to write an I am poem. And I don't know if your kids have to do that. Like, she literally did, I can remember, in like first grade or second grade. And it's so cute. And the I am poem is really, you know, kind of writing about like, who are you? So when you're in first grade, it's things like, I am mac and cheese, I am unicorn dresses, I am whatever in their little brain, right, is who they are. And it was so fun. So in her psychology course, they made her do it again, right? So she sends me this poem, and I'm reading it, and it's very cute. And it's obviously, this is her 20-year-old version of I am. And it's, you know, I'm not, I should have it in front of me. But it's like, you know, I am Charlottesville, where she was born, or, you know, I am my father's daughter, because she is her father's daughter, or I am cleats by the door, because she played soccer her whole life, right? And then I get about halfway through the poem, and it says, I am family holiday pajamas. And I got so teary-eyed, because I also realized, and yes, she did grow up with us and me, and it was definitely not an option. We're doing this. But it was so fun to see kind of on the other end of this and see just how meaningful this is. And it's so much more than just pajamas. It's like core memories that we're creating. And it's not just my family. It's, you know, literally millions of families at this point. And so, yeah, it was so timeless, but also nostalgia. It's all joy. It's all the things.
All the things. I love that. And that's such a beautiful story. I mean, you're leaving, like you said, those imprints on her in her life. That's so special. Well, thank you for sharing that story and indulging in the rapid fire. But for anybody who's listening, what's the best way to continue to follow the brand, to follow you, to see updates?
Oh yes. Follow us on hannahanderson.com. Our Hannah Me Downs site is on there as well. We also have an amazing loyalty program. We have over 1.2 million members, and it's a great community and great benefits there. So sign up for loyalty. And if you're not already a fan, yeah, become a fan.
Yes, I'm sure they will after this conversation. But thank you so much for spending the time. Really enjoy, been familiar with the brand, but it's nice to kind of go behind the scenes a little bit with you and hear from you. So thank you, Kara, for spending the time with us today.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. Mm-hmm.